We're up to the 41st year in Yeshaya, Perek Chof Ches. Today's year is actually a special sponsorship, very special to me, because over the years, occasionally, there was somebody from England who called me up that he was hearing the year, and somebody else used to listen to Eretz Yisrael. But today's sponsorship is from somebody I don't know. He lives in Phoenix, Arizona, and he follows the shiur on the web. And it's sponsored by Rabbi Mrs. Avichai Pepper as a zechus of a refuah shleima for all the sick children, especially Ezra Aviel ben Herzliya Shendel. You should have a refuah shleima. Perek Chof Ches. The Navi starts talking about the situation in the Malchus of Ephraim in the northern kingdom of Eretz Yisrael. And as the Mephorshim say, Yeshaya lived in the Malchus Yehuda. The Gemara says Yeshaya was a cousin of these kings, the kings of Yehuda. And His father Yeshaya ben Amoz. His father Amoz was the brother of Amatziah, who was a king in Yehuda. So Yeshaya was from the royal family in Yehuda. He lived in Yehuda. He said nevuah for Yehuda. But as we'll see, the Musar and the what he says about Ephraim, what he says about the northern kingdom of Israel, is meant as a lesson. Take a look at the way they are and what's happening to them, and we see the same faults are affecting Yehuda also, and it's meant mainly for a lesson for those in Yehuda. But the Navi says, Perek Chof Ches, Hoi, woe, ateres geyus, to the crown of gaiva, of pride. And this crown is a crown that doesn't have substance, what they're so proud of. It's not, there's no substance, there's no true accomplishment. It's a crown of geyus, of pride, of gaiva, but it's not an intrinsic value. It's a false crown. It's just a crown of pride. And this ateres geyus, this pride, this crown of pride, that Shikore Ephraim, the drunkards of Ephraim, have this crown. They're up there in the northern kingdom. The simple meaning is that they're shikur, they're drinking, they're partying, and they're proud, and they feel they're so good. But there's nothing there. Vitzitz novel, it's like a tzitz, a blossom, novel that withers. Tzivisi farto. The delight of their glory, what they think is so beautiful, their splendor, the tzvit tifarto, the delight of their glory is really a tzitz novel. It's a fading blossom. It's not there. A person sees the flower and he thinks it's so beautiful, and then he brings it home and a day later he sees the flower died. He didn't pick a good bouquet. It's really starting to wither. It's already withered. Asher al Rosh Gei Shimonim. And this crown that Ephraim is wearing, Asher al Rosh, it's on their head. Gei Shimonim, of a valley of oil. The oil here is the fine, the perfume, the ointments, the luxurious lotions. And they had so much of these types of pleasures. It's like there's a whole valley of this oil. It's the Gei Shimonim, the valley of oils. And that's what's on their head. That's Asher al Rosh Gei Shimonim on their head. And their head is almost called the Gei Shimonim, the valley of oils. But Halume Yoyin, it's being battered by wine. The wine that they're drinking and that they're involved with is just battering them. It's like a drunkard who staggers and he falls and he bangs himself on the cement. The wine is hurting them. They're partying and their celebrations are to their detriment. The simple meaning is that they were partying, and there are other psukim that seem to say the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Ephraim, was exceedingly involved in Tainuge Olam Hazeh, the pleasures of this world. As a historical backdrop, the nevuahs of Yeshaya were said, Bimei Uziyohu, Yosam, Ochaz, Chizkiyo, during these four kings of Yehuda, and those are the kings that he addressed himself to. This was right after the period of the king of Yisrael, who was Yerovam. Not the Yerovam ben Nevat, not the first king of Yisrael, Yerovam ben Nevat, the king of the northern kingdom, but there was a Yerovam ben Yoash, a latter king. In Melachim Beis, Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Chav Gimel, it says, Bishnas Chamesh Esrei Shana L'Matzio ben Yoash Melach Yehuda, Melach Yerovam ben Yoash. Yerovam ben Yoash became the king of Yisrael, and he was the king for 41 years. Vayas Hora Be'enei Hashem. And this king, Yerovam ben Yoash, did what was evil in the eyes of Hashem. Lo sor mikol chatos Yerovam ben Nevat, asher hechti es Yisrael. He continued on the path of the previous, the much earlier king, Yerovam ben Nevat, who had set up idols. He didn't want the people to go to Yerushalayim. And this latter Yerovam went in that path. Hu heishev es gavul Yisrael, but as terrible as he was, Hashem gave him success in the physical sense, and he restored the boundary of Yisrael, milavo chamos ad yom ha'arovo. From the approach to chamos, from that road, all the way to the sea of the Arova, kidvar Hashem elokei Yisrael, like Hashem had said through the Novi Yonah. The Novi that we read about in Yom Kippur, Yonah ben Amitai Hanovi, he had said in Nevuah, that Klal Yisrael would get back this territory. Ki roh Hashem es oni Yisrael, because Hashem had saw the suffering of Klal Yisrael. Mora ma'od. That Klal, there was a very severe suffering. Ve'efes otzur, there was no wealth, there was nothing that had been gathered in. Ve'efes ozuv, and there was nothing abandoned in the field, no livestock. It was... the times were terrible. Ve'inozel Yisrael, there was no help for Klal Yisrael. V'lo diver Hashem limchos Hashem Yisrael. Hashem didn't say to erase the name of Yisrael mitachas Hashemoyim from under the heavens. Well, Klal Yisrael is going to be wiped out, chas v'shalom. So at this point in history, v'yoshiyim b'yad Yerovam ben Yoash. Hashem gave them another opportunity. They were suffering so much. HaKadosh Baruch Hu save them through Yerovam ben Yoash, who, as we said, was a Rasha, he was a bad king. And yet, on the physical sense, the boundaries were expanded. The Yetzer Divya Yerovam v'chol asherosa u'gvuroso asher nilcham. The other deeds that Yerovam did and the might that he performed in battle. V'asher heishiv es Damesek, and he restored Damascus and Hamas to Yehuda with his army. It's all written down in the records. But during the times of Yerovam ben Yoash, and this was not that much before the exile of the 10 tribes, it was about 50 years, his reign, it was a 41-year reign. But the reign of Yerovam ben Yoash ended about 50 years before the exile of the 10 tribes. So the truth is the destruction was right there, it was only 50 years away. But at this point in history, the people in Ephraim really felt successful, they felt accomplished. And their focus was on Shikori Ephraim, on drinking. Now the truth is, it's hard to know exactly, we're looking at things, this is the way Hashem told the Nevuah to Yeshaya. This is the way God looks at it. They're Shikori Ephraim, they're drunk. The truth is, the Targum doesn't say drunk. The Targum says, Vai di Yohev Kisra. Woe the one who gave the crown, that gave Sana to the haughty. This Ateres Geus, this crown of pride. Tipcha Rabba di Yisrael, the great fools of Israel. They're foolish. They're involved in drinking. But he doesn't use the word drunkard. He doesn't use the word drinking. A Kohen is not allowed to duchen if he drank wine. You can't drink if you can't and then serve in the Beis HaMikdash if you drank wine. We know the amount of wine is only a revis. A revis is a small amount. 2.9 ounces, 3.3 ounces, whatever your amount is. But the revis is not a lot of wine. And we're not talking here about, we're talking about simple wine, which naturally can't ferment to stronger than like 14, 15%. Wine is not that strong. And a guy has a little glass, he's already can't do the avodah, he can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Because his judgment is clouded to a small extent. I don't know if he's legally intoxicated. Probably he hasn't yet reached the limit of be allowed to drive a car. But for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if that small amount of wine, less than half a cup, but that's enough that he's already called Yain V'Shecher Al Teisht. You can't drink that amount when you come to do the Avodah. Ulahoros Es B'nei Yisrael. You can't paskin if you don't have a clear mind. So it could be they had a drink in the morning and they had a drink later in the day, and Hashem looks at it as if your mind, your thoughts are to the drink and what's being served on the bar, and it affects your judgment and you're not thinking clearly in your avodas Hashem. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that says on Daf Kuf Mem Zayin, Amud Beis. The Gemara actually mentions the fact from Pesach to Shavuos, which is the time we're in now, is a time of, it talks about different things that are healing. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, and it's talking about refuah, why you're allowed to take that's beneficial, that the medicines, what's beneficial for the body, what's allowed, what's not allowed. And the Gemara mentions that certain things are considered to be a refuah. Kol yomeh shel diyumsis esrim ve'echad yom. There are 21 days when it's beneficial to have this, the waters of diyumsis, of a certain location. And Shavuos is part of those 21 days when it's the waters are beneficial. But in this Gemara, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Chama di Progaisa, the wine of a place called Progaisa, the wine from that locale, Umaya di Diyumsis, and the waters of the place Diyumsis, Kipchu Aseres HaShvatim. That's what cut off the 10 tribes. You want to know what caused the 10 tribes to be destroyed? And we know they were involved in Avodah Zarah, and they were involved in whatever other Averis. But the Gemara identifies the real problem was the good wine and the beneficial waters. Too many days at the spa, you know. The waters were healing and beneficial, but their focus had changed from there. Kipchu aseres hashvatim Yisrael. That's what cut off the 10 tribes from Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, ikla lahosam. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, the famous, the great Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. We learned in Pirkei Avos, from all the 5 Talmidim of Rabbi Eliezer, he was identified as the greatest. And Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch went to this place, Imshuch Basrayu, he was drawn after them, Iakar Talmude, and his learning was forgotten. Ki Hadar Asa, when he came back to the other Chachamim, he had gone, it doesn't say how long he was there, but when he returned, Kom l'mikri b'sifra, he got up to lane in the Torah. Bo l'mikra, and he wanted to read the pasuk, Hachodesh hazeh lochem. This month is for you, the first of the month. And as a message min hashamayim, they caused him that he didn't read it correctly. He forgot it like a simple pasuk. And if instead of saying Hachodesh, a dalet and a reish look very similar, he said Hacheresh. And the word Hazeh, the Zion, can be interchanged with a Yud. It looks similar. So instead of hazeh, he said hoya. And lochem, the chaf and the beis look similar. So he looked at the words, hachodesh hazeh lochem, and he said, hachorash hayalibam. Their heart was like a cheirish, like a deaf mute who can't communicate, who doesn't have intelligence. It was a warning of what can happen to somebody drawn after that. Bo Rabbanon Rachmi Alei. So the Rabbanon davened for him. V'hadar Talmude. And his learning was restored. V'hainu Disnan. And that's the meaning of the Mishnah of Nuroi Omer Hevi Gola L'makom Torah. A person should exile himself to a makom Torah. V'al Tomer Shitavu Acharecha. And don't think that the Torah will follow you. You can go wherever you go and the Torah will join you. Your chaveirim will keep the Torah existing by you. You have to have colleagues, you have to have chaveirim, you have to have a group. Don't rely on your understanding. Rav Loza ben Aruch knew that he was the greatest of the chachamim, and as Rashi explains, he figured that they would come to him. He's going to go to a place where the location is beautiful, up in the north. And he figured the Talmidim would follow him, but they didn't. And he stayed there alone. Again, it's obviously this was a message mina shemayim that he read the pasuk wrong, and I don't know exactly how much he forgot of learning or that. But this was a lesson of what can happen if somebody is drawn after the enjoyments of the world. So hoy wo the teres geyus. This crown of pride that doesn't have a substance. Shikore Ephraim, the drunkards of Ephraim. Vitzitz novel tzvi sifarto. And it's like a withering blossom. Vitzvi sifarto, the delight of his glory. This crown, asher al rosh gei shimonim, which is on the head of gei shimonim, the valley of oil. This crown, this head, halume yoyin, it's all going to be battered by the wine. The wine is going to destroy their crown, their kingdom, their land, and it's going to bring the destruction of the 10 tribes. But at the time that this is said, the people feel everything is fine. The Malchus Yisrael is expanding under their. They just had this king Yeravam ben Yoash. But the Navi continues, Hinei chozok va'amitz l'Hashem. There is going to be something strong, chozok. And amitz, powerful. Now in English, strong and powerful are kind of synonymous. But in Lashon HaKodesh, the Malbim explains, chozok is like the energy you need to defeat someone. And amitz is the one to persist. Imagine if there's two wrestlers and one guy pins down the opponent. So as soon as he gets the upper hand and he pins him down, that's chazak. That's power, that's strong. But then he's got to hold him down. The person below is struggling to get up. For that you need to be amitz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's punishment is chazak. It's going to put down the Rishoyim and those that are deserving of punishment. And va'amitz, it can persist. That the punishment continues. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this force that's chazak va'amitz l'Hashem, that's strong and powerful. Kizerem borod. It's like a downpour of hail. And when the borod, the hail comes down, it can smash the trees, destroy the plants, kill the livestock, like we had by Makas Mitzrayim. Kizerim borod, it's strong like this downpour of hail. Sar kotsev, and it's a tempest, a wind, a sar, like we're used to seeing that word with a samach. Sar, sa'ara, ruach sa'ara. Sar, it's a storm kotsev that destroys and cuts off what's in its path. And it's not just like the downpour of hail that can last a few moments and wreak its havoc. Or the storm that sets down like a tornado and it can, in a moment, turn things upside down and then it's gone. But it's persistent. Kizerem mayim kabirim. Like a downpour of Mayim Kabirim, mighty waters, Shofim that are surging, like a powerful river that broke through the dam and is just spreading over the land and continues with millions of gallons of water, Shofim, and it's just surging. And with such a force, Hiniach La'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes this Malchus of Ephraim, Hiniach La'aretz, and places them on the ground. They're lowered down to the earth. Biyod, with Hashem's Kaviyocha, with the hand, meaning with by force. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take Ephraim, and they're going to be lowered. They're going to have their destruction, and it's not just going to be a defeat by the enemy, but it's going to be something persistent. It's going to be Amitz. There's going to be an exile of the 10 tribes, and they're going to be gone for a long time. Baraglayim teramasna. And it won't just be like two opposing armies that are meet on the field of combat, and one army's defeated. But here there's going to be Baraglayim teramasna. They're going to be trampled. In other words, they're going to suffer a humiliating defeat. Ateres geus, this pride, this crown of pride, Shikore Ephraim, of the drunkards of Ephraim. Vahoisa tzitzatz novel. And it's going to be this tzitzatz novel, the withering blossom. Tzvi sifarto, the delight of his glory. Ephraim was so proud of their accomplishments, of what they had done. But there was no substance. It was, again, this withering blossom. Asher al rosh gei shmonim. And this crown that, again, is on the head, that's like gei shmonim, a valley of oil. It's going to be kivikurah, the terem kayitz. It's going to be like a fig that ripens before the summer. It has its season when they ripen, and a guy's waiting with his fig tree. He's waiting for the figs, and the first one ripens before the others. So a person has been waiting to taste the first fruits, and this tastes good. So it's sort of before its time. All the other figs haven't ripened yet, but this is premature. It's kivikurah b'terem kayitz, like the fig that ripened before the summer. Asher yire haroeth osa. That the observer, as soon as he sees it, he's walking by and he notices it, and he wants to take it. Ba'oda v'chapo. And then, while it's still in his hand, he doesn't put it into his bucket, he doesn't save it for later, he doesn't put it away for Shabbos. He has such a strong desire for this while it's still in his hand. He swallows it. It's gone suddenly, immediately, before it would be expected. And so too the Malchus Ephraim is going to end before the time. People aren't going to assume it's happening already. Malchus Ephraim, just 50 years before, had conquered other lands. But before it's expected, before we know it, Ephraim will have their downfall. Now, Ephraim was a mighty nation. Ephraim had, it took Ashur three different times. The armies of Assyria, of Ashur, came to the land three different times to conquer. And in fact, when they laid siege to the city of Shomron, it was a three-year siege. So the people in Ephraim, it seems, weren't, as the Pusik seems to make them out to be, just drunkards who are partying, who were weak and had no power. But on the contrary, they were a powerful country. We learned earlier in Yeshaya, the northern kingdom made an alliance with Aram. And this was in the times of Ochaz. This was after the king Yeravam. They made an alliance with the country of Aram, and they were planning to attack Chizkiyo and attack the Malchus Yehuda, Nalav Yehuda, V'Navkiyena Eilenu. Yeah, they had said they were going to take Yehuda to be theirs. So Ephraim was confident. They were strong, they were soldiers, they were fighters. But before you know it, like that fig that ripens before the summer, and the person, the observer, sees it, and he grabs it, and immediately he swallows it, so too Ephraim will be grabbed, seized, picked, and taken away into exile. Bayomahu. In that day, Yiyah Hashem Tzavokos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Hashem Tzavokos, Hashem, the master of legions, the one who controls all the hosts, all the armies, the one who's controlling the course of history. On that day, Hashem will be La Teres Tzvi. He'll be a crown of delight, V'lik Sfiras Tifara, and a diadem, another type of ornament, a crown, Tifara, of glory, Lishor Amo, for the remnant of his people. Ephraim is going to be exiled. They're going to be defeated. But at the time that this is happening, there's another kingdom in the south, the Malchus Yehuda. And they're going to have a king, Chizkiyo. And Chizkiyo is a tremendous tzaddik who shuns the tainugim, the pleasures of this world. And he institutes that everyone has to learn Torah and be faithful to Hashem. And he destroys the Avodah Zarah. And in his day, there'll be a true crown to Hashem. There won't be the false crown, the Ateres Geus, the crown of pride. But on that day, Yi Hashem Tzvokos, Hashem will be La Teres Tzvi. He'll be a crown of delight. V'lit Sfiras Tifora. And for this crown of Tifora, of glory, Lishor Amo, for those that remain. It's only the two tribes, it's Yehuda Binyamin. It's those who have joined them from the Malchus Yisrael. There were certain times in history where the 10 tribes, there were those who came. Chazal say, Yirmiyah, before the Churban, Yirmiyah had brought back the 10 tribes at one point. And in the times of Yirmiyah, he had gone to bring back the 10 tribes. And throughout the centuries, there are always some of the 10 tribes that are amongst us. Lishor Amo, for those that remain, but it was mainly Yehuda and Binyamin, and of course, those from Shevet Levi. Lishor Amo, but those who remain, Hashem will be a true crown for them. Ularuach Mishpat. And Hashem will be for them as a spirit of judgment. La Yoshev Al HaMishpat, for the judge who sits in judgment. V'li Gevura, and Hashem will be a source of strength. Meshivei Milchama Shara, those that are returned from the war, Shara, back to the gates of their city. In order to have a successful country, you have to be secure within. People know there's justice, there's a law and order, things are being run fairly and honestly, and there has to be security from the outside and the enemies. Hashem will be l'ruach mishpat l'yoshev ala mishpat. For those that are sitting in judgment, Hashem will give them the spirit of justice, that they'll be inspired to endeavor and to place their efforts successfully in bringing justice. V'ligavurin, for those that are fighting against the external enemies, v'ligavurin mishivim l'chom ashara. Hashem will help them out, that they'll be able to bring the battle, shara, back to the gates. They'll come back home to their city victorious. Begam Eile Bayayin Shagu. But now, Yeshaya Hanavi focuses on Malchus Yehuda. These are the lessons to be learned from what's happening up north. But what's doing with us in Malchus Yehuda, the people that Yeshaya mingled amongst, those that he knew and those that he spoke directly to? V'gamela b'yayin shagu. And Yeshaya says, but these also, these people also in Yehuda, b'yayin shagu, with wine they've erred. And shogu is the word shogeg, shkoga. It's not a meaningful, it's not being done on purpose. It's a shogeg, it's an accident. But once somebody, his judgment is impaired by drinking, so he's blamed for that also. Even though it is a shogeg, he didn't mean to do it, it was an accident. But because in Yehuda also, people are getting into the wine. V'gam ele be'yayin shagu. They've also erred because of the wine. Uva'sheichar to'u. And with the sheichar, with the strong drink, to'u, they've strayed. Shagu is more like an accident. It's a one-time occurrence. It's not a major deviation from the truth. Tohu, to stray, means they're off the path. Tohu, they've gone off the derech. And that happens vashechar, with a strong, intoxicating drink, more than just the regular wine, which sometimes isn't that strong, but this has been distilled. This is a stronger wine, vashechar tohu, and with a strong drink, they've strayed from the path. Kohen v'novi, the Kohen, the Navi, and even the Navi. The Mefarshim learned it here means the, those that people listened to for Nevuah, but they weren't the Nevi'ei Emes. They weren't those saying the word of Hashem. Those false prophets. The Kohen, those that served as the Kohen, the Navi, and the false prophet. Shagu b'sheichar. They've erred because of the drink. Nivlu min hayayin, they've been corrupted by wine. But the word nivlu, to be corrupted, is from the word like bola, to swallow. It was almost as if they figured all this time they were drinking the wine, they were swallowing the wine. Right? We had ba'oda b'chapo yivla enna in Pasuk Dalet. When the fig's still in his hand, yivla enna, he'll swallow it. Bola is to swallow. And here they imagine they're swallowing the wine. But they're not swallowing the wine. The wine is swallowing them. They're losing their whole ability to think and to act properly. Which is, of course, the explanation. Chazal say, Ein lecha ben chorim ela misha osek batorah. The only one who's considered free is the one who's osek batorah. And the explanation is, a person looking at it superficially, figures freedom is he can do whatever he wants. And somebody with the Torah, he's held back with Tariag Mitzvahs, with all the Dirabonans, all of the Siyogim, all of the safeguards to Torah. He's very limited what he can eat, where he can go, how he can act. But it's not that way. The truth is, those that think they're free, they're really enslaved by their desires. It's like the person who's on drugs, you know, he's, he might think to himself, you know, I'm free to have drugs. And imagine these people, they've never tasted, they've never had that sensation, they've never had, they don't know what the experience is. But of course, the truth is, the guy who's had the drugs, he's enslaved to it, and he's an addict. And those that haven't had it, don't need it, and are happy and are able to enjoy life to its fullest. Nivlu min hayayin. They've been swallowed up, they've been corrupted by the wine. To min ha-sheichar. They've strayed because of the sheichar, because of the strong drink. Shogu baroe. And therefore their whole vision, the way they see things, is wrong. They've erred in their vision. Paku palilia. Paku palilia. They've perverted justice. You have in the Torah, v'nosan biflilim. Or voivenu plilim, there are psukim that plilim means the judges. And here, paku, they've Paku, they've perverted, they've been trapped, Palilia, in their judgments, and they're no longer judging properly, they're all mistaken. Yehuda and Binyamin also got involved in the wine. Shogu Baroa, the way they've seen things. A shikr, somebody who had to drink, and he looks, he imagines things, he doesn't see things clearly anymore. Shogu Baroa, their vision is erred. Paku Plililo, and therefore their judgments are perverted. Rashi says, "Vegam Eile." We just mentioned that Ephraim is going to be destroyed, and on that day Hashem will be the splendor for those that sit in judgment, and those that will be strength for those who Meshivei Melchama Shara, bring the battle back to the gates. And as Rashi brings down, the Gemara says, Meshivei Melchama is referring to those that are able to return from the battle in Torah. The Gemara discusses in different ways those Talmidei Chachamim are like soldiers going out to war. They have to be equipped, they have to have their weapons and their supplies. They're expected to come to debate whatever topics at hand with a full knowledge of all the Mishnayos and all the Gemara. They come with a wealth of understanding. And they come with a clear mind that's incisive and able to discern the truth. And then they can debate what the correct halacha is. But v'gamele, these also, those that are involved, the Ruach Mishpat, those that should be involved in judgment, those that are Meshivei Melchama, involved in the battle of Torah, but v'gamele v'yayin shagu, they've also gotten into erring because of wine, uvashech arto, and straying because of strong drink. Even those that are expected, those that are on the higher level, those that are involved in Torah. Rashi says, v'gam eile, the yoshvei mishpat, umeshivei milchama shebedor hazeh, in this generation, where they're so exceedingly good, which it could be referring to the generation of Chizkio. But there's a problem there. There's an underlying problem that they're still interested in their enjoyment. Klomer tovim v'chashuvim shebohen v'yayin shagu ki ata im tov behem. And therefore now I see it's not good. Shagu baroe. And when they get involved in the drink, then all of a sudden the word of Hashem no longer carries the same importance, the same severity. But shagu baroe, Rashi says, they start to mock the words of the Nevi'im. Huh, what they're saying isn't literally so. It's not so bad. It's not the way the Nevi'im portray it. The Yonasan Tirgeng in Rashi says, "B'machal madanim." When it says shagu baroe, it came from what they looked at. Shagu, they erred baroe because of what they saw. They walked and they saw things that were very desirous. But machol madanim, with all the delightful food, shera'u oneg lahem, and they saw that this is a pleasure for them. Shogu baroa, with what they saw, they erred, and they were drawn after this enjoyment. The Mesilas Yesharim says, this is a Mesilas Yesharim that Musa Sefer, that what I find the most inspiring part of Mesilas Yesharim is knowing even where he begins. He has a path and a ladder for a person to climb higher and higher, reaching perfection on his path to Ruach HaKodesh. But even the beginning, you look at like the introduction, is you know, if it would be up to the introduction, it would be on a very high level. You know, it starts off with an introduction. A person should know his purpose in this world, and whatever he's doing should be geared toward his goal. In other words, you have a goal, so what are you doing to reach it? And therefore, everything that a person should do, if he realizes how important it is for him to get an attachment to Hashem, so of course he's very careful, not that there shouldn't be any aveir or anything wrong. You know, and that's like sort of his introduction. And you stop and you think, you know, imagine if a guy were to sit through his schedule and carefully analyze everything he does during the day and say, is every step in the day what Hashem wants from me? Does Hashem want me to do this? Does Hashem want me to do that? If a person would be on that madrega, he's already way above the crowd. It's a tremendous madrega. But the Mesillas Yesharim climbs higher and higher until he reaches a level of precious. And perhaps if we spend a little bit talking about precious, we can get an understanding of perhaps what might have been the problem with Ephraim, the Malchus of Ephraim, what happens with here Yehuda, they're involved in the wine, what exactly was demanded of them? And the Mesillas Yesharim says in Perek Yud Gimel, HaPrishus hu tchilas hachasidus. Precious is really the beginning of chasidus. And you should know everything we explained to now, explained up to this point, is what a person needs l'sheyia tzaddik, to be a tzaddik. Umikan v'hola hu sheyia chasid. From precious and on, we're talking about somebody who wants to be a chasid, who wants to be, which is greater than a tzaddik. He's doing more than is demanded. So this is to give you an idea. We're talking about precious of the person who's already, he can stop without doing this, and he will be a tzaddik. These are talking about the individuals that are want to be on a higher level. V'hine klal ha-prishus humasha amruzal kadesh atzmecha b'mutalach. The general understanding, the rule of precious is that just because something is permitted to you, but a person should sanctify himself even if it's mutter to him. V'zosi ho-ra'asa shel hamila atzma. That's the definition of the word precious. To be poresh and to separate. Now, as he explains, the truth is, precious is meant for those who want to be a chassid, who want to be greater than a regular tzaddik. But to have the importance of knowing this is because on a small level, a person should be able to a little bit be in touch with it, with this idea of precious. Because as the Mesillas Yesharim brings down, part of this goes into Kedoshim Tiyu. You have to be Kedoshim, you have to be holy, that means to separate yourself from this world. So on a certain level, everyone's expected to do it. At least in certain, not everything that's mutter should a person have to the full extent. That's, everyone's expected to have a certain amount of Kedoshim, a certain amount of Kedusha. To excel in Precious and to really master it, that's for those who are way above the tzaddikim. That's those who are striving as a chassid. That's a very high level to reach precious. But we all have to be aware of it, and it's something that we should be in touch with, because we have to have a little bit of it. But as he explains, v'tira sheyesh kan sholosh madregos. There are three levels. Yesh hoisurim atzmam. There are certain things that the Torah says are aser. V'yesh siyogos sehem, and then there are the siyogim and the gezeros and the mishmoros that Chazal mentioned. There are a lot of siyogim that Chazal set up. Of course, the Torah says you can't cook meat and milk together, and you can't eat it. To go ahead and say that even when they're cold, don't have them together. And if you had meat and they're cold, don't have milk in the same meal and wait whatever amount of time. That's already the Chazal said. The Chachamim said, the Torah might say, don't cook meat and milk together. But you have to totally separate that. You have to have separate pots. You have to be separate. That's what the Chachamim said. And then there's a third thing. V'yesh ha'archeikim shemutal akol parush u'parush lasos. There are certain herchekim, certain things that every parush has to do, and they have to keep away. They have to make certain siyogim. And he explains at length that what's the purpose of the siyogim? Or there are the many chazals that say if Hashem has given it to you, you should enjoy it. Lo dayach masha osra Torah, sha'atabo leser olecha devarim acherim. If Hashem says it's permitted, Hashem made the world for you to enjoy. It's there for you to enjoy. And what Hashem wants you not to eat, He'll tell you, don't eat. And if this is kosher, so it's given to you to enjoy. And there are other chazals. But as the Mesillas Yesharim explains, the idea in Prishus is, a person says, yes, you're right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to me to enjoy. But I on my own want to refrain from anything that might lead me away from the Torah to get involved in the pleasures of this world. And that's the Madrego Precious, which is not obligatory. It's a very high Madrega, but there are those who feel they want to distance themselves from anything that might take them away from Torah and mitzvahs. And it's a beautiful thought, you know, for us that aren't on that Madrega, the way he describes those on this who have reached this level. And he says, Shekivan, this is much later on, She'ief Shar Le'uma, She'tia Kula Shova B'mayla Achas. It's impossible to have a nation where everybody's on the same level. It doesn't work that way. We're not on the same level. Everyone's different. Ki'esh Ba'am Madregos Madregos Ish Lefi Sichalo. Everyone based on his understanding of Hashem and his seichel, everyone's on a different level. But hine lefochos yechide skula yimotsu. We need some volunteers. We need the few, you know, we need those few good men. We need women. You need the yechide segula yimotsu asher yochinu es atzmam hachona gemura. They have to prepare themselves with a complete hachona. And through them, Yizku gam habilti muchanim el ahavoso yisparach vashrosh chinoso. If we can get those few people that reach these high, high madregos, so we're all one nation, and we're inspired by them, we're part of them, we're connected with them, and it raises the whole level to be zochet to ashrosh hashchina. And he brings uche'inyin shedorshu zal barba minim shebelulav. Like we all know the Medrash with the four minim of the lulav, you got the four different species representing those who have Torah, no mitzvahs, or mitzvahs without Torah, or nothing, and those who have everything, the fragrance of the esrog, the Torah, and the mitzvahs. And he elaborates on this idea. There are the Purushim who raise the level of the whole nation, and those are the ones who are able to separate from anything in this world that might take them away from Avodas Hashem. Drinking wine is not an Avera. But you see from the Novi, it was what it led to, and what was expected from them, it was considered to be terrible that they were so involved in enjoyments of this world. More was expected of them. But it's, at the same time, we have to keep in focus who we're talking about. The big complaint is there's too much drinking of wine. Pasuk Ches. Ki kol shulchanos molu ki tzoa. All of the tables are full of ki, which is vomit, and tzoa is excrement. It's like the person drank and he's vomiting, and it's just b'li mokum, and there's no clean place. The whole thing is full of Keith, so it's all disgusting. And again, keeping an eye, the simple meaning is they're drunk, and therefore the tables are all dirty and filthy. But it says in Pirkei Avos, Paragimel Mishnah Dalad, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shlosha Sha'ochlu al Shulchan Echad, V'lo Amru Alav Divrei Torah. Three people sit by a table and they don't say words of Torah. Kilo Ochlu Miziv Chemesim. It's like they ate from ziv chemesim, sacrifices from dead animals. Shenemar ki chol shulchanos, because it says, or ziv chemesim is avodah zara. Shenemar ki chol shulchanos molu ki tzoa b'li makom. Our pasuk. There's a concept that people sit down to the table and the Navi will tell you this table is full of vomit. And you look at it, the table looks fine. But when the Navi looks at it, if they didn't say Torah, that's what the table looks like. Rabbeinu Yonah says, three people sitting together is already a chabura. That's called a group. Three people can make a zimun. They can get together as a unit to praise Hashem. Nevarech shachalnu mishalo. Ve'ein lehischaberla. And now these people join together, and there's no divrei Torah. They're a group, and the group is not connected with Torah. What is this group about? This group is just to eat. She prikas ol haTorah. She'ochlin v'shosim. They're eating and drinking, v'nanin, and they're having enjoyment. Uzachiras haTorah lo sala alavavam. Oy lahem, oy lahanosam. Woe is to them, woe is to their hanah. And you should know, by the way, that's the beautiful, the minig, that before benching, they say a kapitel of Tehillim, they Shir HaMalos. Now those who say Al Naros Bavel during the week, but the idea is to say some Torah before you bench. The meal shouldn't leave with just eating and drinking without any Torah. Otherwise, it's like the table is full of vomit. B'li Mokum is no clean place. Esmi Yoredeya. If the adults are involved in partying, Esmi Yoredeya. So who is the one who's going to teach knowledge? Besmi Yavin Shmua. Who is going to understand Shmua, the Torah that's heard, the message of the Navi? Who's going to understand the message? Gemulei Mechalav. What, the babies? Who's not drinking wine? The babies, the Gemulei Mechalav, the one who just stopped nursing the mother's milk. Atike Mishadayim, they've separated themselves from the Shadayim, from the breasts. If they're not nursing, what, the babies are gonna understand Torah? The simple meaning is it's a question, but the Gemara uses it as a statement. Two different Gemaras. There's one Gemara that says in Avodah Zarah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends a quarter of the day. And the Gemara discusses what he does in every part of the day, every quarter. And the Gemara says is a special time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches the little children that Lo Aleinu had died young. Somebody had a child, Lo Aleinu, and the baby died, and he feels it's a wasted, you know, he had a child, the child Lo Aleinu died, and he's a baby, and he never had a chance to learn if he at least learned Torah. So he learned, but this is Tinoko Shobes Rabban. And the Gemara says, Esmi Yoredeya, who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to teach the knowledge to? Who's going to understand? Esmi Yovin Shmua. Those little babies, Gemulei Mechalav, Atikei Mishadoyim, those that they've even just finished nursing, but those little babies who are nifter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends time teaching them Torah in Shemayim. That's one Gemara. There's another Gemara in Sota, on Daf Yud Beis, that explains Moshe Rabbeinu. Basia, the daughter of Paro, wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to nurse from one of the other Egyptian women, and he refused until Ha'elech b'karasi lach isha menekes min ha'ivriyos. Miriam said, "I'll find him one of the Jewish women to nurse this baby." And the Gemara brings this pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu inspired Moshe as a little baby, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused that Moshe shouldn't nurse from the other women. Esmi Yoredeya, who's going to be the one who will be able to teach knowledge? Vesmi Yavin Shmua, who's the one who will be able to explain a message? Yavin, to give others to understand a message. Gemulei Mechalav, only those who have separated themselves from milk, or Atikei Mishadayim, they moved away from the Shadayim of the Egyptian women, where the source of the milk is Tameh, is not kosher. And that's actually halacha brought down, that if for some reason the mother can't eat, is forced to take food that's not kosher, for whatever health reasons, or if the mother is not able to eat kosher, even if she's allowed to, but she shouldn't nurse the baby. The baby should nurse from kosher, a kosher milk and kosher, a kosher mother, a nursemaid. But Asmi Yardei are the ones who will be able to understand, to teach knowledge. Asmi Yavin Shmu, and to give to understand the message of those who are Gemulei Mechalo Atikim Mishadoyim. But right now the people are involved in their pleasures. Kitzav Lotzov. One explanation is, for whatever tzav, whatever commandment that the Torah gives, tzav lotzav, we have to make a command to the command. And whatever barrier we enacted, tzav lotzav, I have to make like a second barrier. And therefore we need so many siyogim, because they're just so involved in the wrong path, they're going to end up doing averus. We need a tzav to the tzav, and a tzav, another commandment to that tzav. Kav lakav. If somebody's making a building, he has a plumb line, and he has a weight at the end of a string to make sure the wall is straight. But if you want to make sure that it's straight, you need a kav lakav. One line, plumb line, to make sure that the first plumb line is good, and a kav lakav. It seems we just need so many safeguards, because the people are so misdirected. Ze'er shom, ze'er shom. And even the little bit that we give them, it's a little bit here and a little bit there. And even that seems to be too difficult. Everything is difficult for them. And Rashi says, Kitzav lotzov. The Novi is telling them, Tzav lotzov, you have the commandment of Hashem, and yet you take other commandments. You figure you're going to follow the laws of the Goyim. The Tzav of the Goyim lotzov instead of the Tzav of Hashem. Tzav lotzov, and they feel that their commands for that they picked up, their ways of living, are more important than what Hashem is saying. Kav lakav. And they have their own way of measuring what's straight and what's proper. Lakov, instead of the measuring the plumb line of Hashem, they have their own kav. And again, kav lakov, it just reiterates how determined they are to do their own thing and live their own life, not like Hashem wants. Ze'er shom, and the Navi warns them, Ze'er shom, there's only a little bit over there before the punishment is going to be. And they say, Ze'er Shom, yeah, a little bit, don't worry. A little bit more partying, and then it'll all be good, there won't be a punishment. Ki balage sofa. Because with an unclear and incoherent speech, uvaloshen acheres, and like in another language, sometimes a person's diction is not clear. That's lage sofa. He's just not saying the words clearly. And sometimes it's loshen acheres, it's a different language. He speaks well, but you don't know the language. And when the Navi talks, it's like he has all those shortcomings. The people don't connect with his message at all. Ki v'lage sofa, with a lage sofa, with an unintelligible speech. U'v'loshen acheres, and like in another language, yidaber al ha'am hazeh, you speak to this nation. That the message of the Navi is misunderstood by the people, and they don't understand the importance of Avodas Hashem. Yitzhak Shem will continue next week. All right. And,